on today's Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
When Jesus came into the world, he could have said, well, I will come down to this world because I like it a lot. And provided it continues to do what I think it should, then I will go on liking it a lot. And if I stick around long enough, maybe I'll get to love it. Is that what he said? No. In fact, if that was the attitude he'd have come down on, listen to what the scripture also says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only did they not receive him, they put him on a cross. They put him on a cross. So what was his attitude? Okay.
Stuart Briscoe today continues his message, The Meaning of Love. The types of love and how you choose to live them out impact both your immediate world and the world around you. Stuart tells you more coming up. It's easy to get caught up in the magic of what you think marriage might be, only to meet reality and come crashing back to earth with a resounding marital thud. That's why we want to send you Pete Briscoe's new fantastic series, The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. It's our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388 and request The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. Our number again is 1-800-889-5388. Now it's Stuart Briscoe and his message, The Meaning of Love.
So when we're talking about love, kind of love that the scripture talks about, we're not talking about eros, and we're not talking about philia. Although philia occurs on many occasions in the scripture. The third word is agape, or agape, depending on which syllable you put the emphasis. Agape or agape. Now, this is entirely different. If eros is egotistic love and philia is mutualistic love, agape is altruistic love. Here's a definition for you. Agape love is not a feeling, it's a decision. Agape love is not a feeling, it's a decision. It is a decision to be primarily concerned with the well-being of the beloved, regardless of their condition, irrespective of their reaction. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? So I'll give it to you again. Agape love is not a feeling, it's a decision. A decision to be primarily concerned with the well-being of the beloved, regardless of their condition, irrespective of their reaction. Now you're in the big leagues. Now we're talking about something totally different from eros and philia. Oh, by the way, can you see how if agape love gets hold of eros, eros would never become abusive? And can you see how if agape begins to prevail over philia, that even when somebody puts a foot wrong, the whole thing won't come crashing down? You know what the key is, don't you? It's agape. It's agape love. And that's what friendship, that's what relationships are made of. Agape love. Now, let me give you an example here. There's a tendency for us to think that love is liking somebody a lot. Love is liking somebody a lot. Now, let me quote to you a verse of scripture. Very famous verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how it goes. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can see why it's a famous verse. It is such a powerful, powerful statement. God loved the world such a lot, so much, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if love means liking a lot, just for the sake of argument, let's insert like a lot instead of love in John 3:16. God liked the world such a lot that he... Now where'd you go? God liked the world such a lot that he said, ooh, I do like it. Ooh, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's make another just like it. Let's clone it. Well, he didn't. In actual fact, what the scripture says is this, that God disliked the world intensely. In fact, it even goes so far as to say that God in some ways was sorry he'd made it when he saw what happened to the sheer mess we made of his world. He disliked it intensely. Oh, but listen, God disliked the world intensely and chose to love it to distraction. You see, it is possible to look at something and to say, I don't like what it is. I don't like what it stands for. I don't like its behavior. And I don't like its reaction. But none of that is relevant because I have made a commitment to be primarily concerned with its well-being. When Jesus came into the world, he could have said, well, I will come down to this world because I like it a lot. And provided it continues to do what I think it should, then I will go on liking it a lot. And if I stick around long enough, maybe I'll get to love it. Is that what he said? No. In fact, if that was the attitude he'd have come down on, listen to what the scripture also says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only did they not receive him, they put him on a cross. They put him on a cross. So what was his attitude? Okay, if that's how it is, I'm going back. No. Regardless of their condition, he disliked it intensely. Irrespective of their reaction, they crucified him. He loved the world to distraction. Why? Because it's agape. What's agape? Agape is not the kind of love that says, I am going to derive pleasure from you by possessing you. Agape does not say, I will love you just so long as you love me. Agape is a decision that says, I will be primarily concerned with your well-being, regardless of your condition and irrespective of your reaction. And sisters and brothers, listen very carefully. It's that that the world craves, and it's that that the world lacks. So is there any hope? Yes, there is.
That's Stuart Briscoe sharing the message, The Meaning of Love. He's coming right back with more. At the all-new TellingTheTruth.org, it's easier than ever to listen, read, watch, download, and share messages. You can go deeper than ever before with relevant Bible teaching from the Briscoes to help you experience life. Visit TellingTheTruth.org today, and remember, you can also give there to help keep the teaching you love on air and online. Again, it's TellingTheTruth.org, TellingTheTruth.org. Now, we head back to Stuart Briscoe.
So is there any hope? Yes, there is. Let me give you another scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, it's a whole lot more things as well. Eight other things. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me tell you another verse of scripture. It says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. What this means is that God, fully recognizing his love for us, that he longs to see reciprocated to him and to people around us, is fully aware of our own abject inability at this point. fully aware of our abject inability at this point. But he is able to forgive us because Christ died on the cross for us. And he's able to transform us by sending the Spirit of the risen Christ into our lives to empower us for newness of life. God never calls without equipping. Otherwise, he would simply be making fools out of us. When he tells us to love him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength and our neighbor as ourself, he is saying, and I will give you my Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit's work in your life, will you begin to see and sense a growing capacity for love, which will transform friendships and transform relationships and even transform relationships to those who have done us wrong. Now we're in the big leagues. And this is what our world lacks. And this at root is what our world craves. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is this. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Not an optional extra for those who are romantically and sentimentally inclined. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now here's the big tension. Somebody would say, well, is love, this agape love that you're talking about, is this agape love the result of obedience to a command? Or is it the result of dependence upon the Spirit? Good question, isn't it? Is this love the result of obedience to a command? A new command I give you, that you love one another. Or is it the result of dependence upon the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is. And the answer to the question is yes. Yes. It's not either or. It's both and. How does that work? Let me put it to you this way. I think we're all wired up differently. Have you noticed? Of course you have. You've looked at your spouse. The old principle, opposites attract, right? For a couple of weeks. And then what? They drive you nuts. That is why when we're preparing for weddings, I always get the bride to write down on a piece of paper three words. I want you to imagine you're writing them down. A-I-S-L-E. What's that? I'll. A-L-T-A-R. H-Y-M-N. Those are the three things you have in a wedding, aren't they? I'll, altar, him. I wanted to give you something memorable. Opposites attract. We're wired up differently. We have a fatal attraction to those who we know are different from us. And then, of course, as time goes on, it can become a bit of an irritant. Now, here's the point. The way we are wired up very often will mean that some of us are sort of designed for obedience. We are the engineers of this world. We are the financial planners of this world. We are the people who have goals, intermediate goals, measurable goals. Check, check, check. Tick, tick, tick. You can hear them as they go past. With an intent look on their face. Then there are the more relaxed people. I won't tell you which Jill and I are. You may possibly have guessed. Jill says, and you've heard this before, that she is going to put on my tombstone, here lies Stuart Briscoe. He never anticipated any major difficulty. To which I reply, and what makes you think I'm going to die before you? I'm not anticipating any major difficulty. So anyway, now here's how it goes. The way we are wired up will make one particular dimension of truth more appealing to us than the other. If we are very organized, if we're very detail conscious, then there's a very high probability that we will take very, very seriously the love, the command to love. And so we may even go this far that we have a day timer. You see? And on the top of our day timer, we have actually written in perpetuity. That's another word I've just learned. In perpetuity, we have written, love somebody today. Target today for love, you see. In the end of the day, check. But boy, does it get tiring. Does it wear you out because you have met some real ugly, mean dudes today? Meanwhile, of course, our relaxed people are saying, if the Spirit of God wants to love somebody through me today, he's perfectly free to go right ahead. No problem. We'll just see how she goes. Now, I want to suggest something to you, that both of those approaches, and of course we're caricaturing them to make a point, but both of those approaches are neglecting the fine balance of spirituality, which always requires obedience and dependence. If you, in your own personality proclivities, move in the direction of one, which you will, concentrate on the other. If in your own personality proclivity, you move towards one, concentrate on the other. So if you are one of those people, today I've got to do an outrageous act of kindness. Where do I look for him? Well, that's wonderful. You're going to be obedient. The only problem is, oh God, this is driving me nuts. Will you please, by your gracious Holy Spirit, get a grip on my life and give me a heart for this rather than this being a burden. Rather than being a burden. And the other people who are laid back, they're so relaxed that they're trusting God to do what he's told them to do. Those people, just try being obedient. It's good for your system. Now, where does this all come down to? It comes down to this. If we're going to think in terms of healthy relationship on a biblical base, if we're going to think in terms of a genuine love for God and a genuine love for people, and a love that is constantly growing and expanding and deepening, and having a ripple effect more and more. It's agape we're talking about. And if we're talking about agape, we're talking about taking seriously the command of Christ in obedience and taking seriously the resources of Christ in the Spirit in dependence. I'll tell you one story. And some of you say, oh, no, not this story again. But yes, this story again. Because no one else tells it. So if I want to hear it, I have to tell it. But it will illustrate something as well. My car wouldn't start. So I look under the hood. There's nothing I understand under that hood. Just oil and dust and last year's leaves and all kinds of stuff under there. But it wouldn't start. I understood that. So I go inside. It's a bitterly cold day. May, I think it was. Well, if it was England, it would be the second week of August. But anyway, I go inside, pick up the phone, call my friend Donnie Couchman. Donnie, my car won't start. What's the matter with it? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be calling you. Well, if your car won't start, it's either the spark or the fuel. Well, gee, thanks very much. Well, just try it. Well, could you come over and help me? Yeah, okay, I'll come. So I wait inside until I hear him coming. It was easy to hear him coming because in those days, he used to drive a dune buggy in the middle of a Wisconsin winter. So he comes roaring around the corner. I rushed outside and looked under the hood. So he comes up to me and he said, now remember, if your car won't start, it's either the spark or the fuel. I said, sure, I know that. He said, here, hold this. So he gave me a screwdriver, great big screwdriver. He said, hold this. So I held it like this. He said, not there, down here. So he pushed my arm down inside the engine. Now he said, press hard. So I pressed hard, and he got inside the car, and something ecstatic happened. Well, that's the only way I can describe it. I went into an ecstasy. I began to leap and to jump, and I thought, I'm having a spiritual experience here. It started very suddenly, and it passed very quickly. And he got out of the car, and he said, it's your fuel. I said, how'd you know? And he said, if your car won't start, it's either the spark or the fuel. I said, I know that. He said, well, it's not your spark. I said, how do you know that? He said, didn't you feel it? And my understanding is this, that an internal combustion engine operates on the basis of spark and fuel, not either or, a mix of both. Now, I know some mechanic's going to come up and say, what about oxygen? Don't worry about it. Don't spoil my illustration. Spark and fuel. Not either or, both and.
Stuart Briscoe and his message, The Meaning of Love. In just a moment, Stuart takes a closer look at how the Holy Spirit impacts how we love those around us. You know, when you give to Tell Me the Truth, you help people all over the world hear the teaching of the Briscoes. How do we know? Because of the letters, emails, and online posts we get from our listeners letting us know how God is using you to help them experience the abundant life He offers. Paul sent us this. I've been listening to and reading communication from Telling the Truth for a few years now, and I've been struggling for the past 5 years. I've learned to work through my grief and better communicate with God in my life daily. As Pete says, we are new creations in Christ. Telling the Truth is helping me in my walk with Jesus and my journey to be nearer to Him. God doesn't leave us, and pain does teach us. I may not like it, but I now handle adversity better because of God and Telling the Truth. I love you all. Right now, when you give to keep this Tell Me the Truth broadcast on air and online, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ, we'll send you Pete's 6-message series, The Secrets of a Successful Marriage, to say thanks. Pete wants to help you tap into the source for creating a thriving marriage. So call today at 1-800-889-5388 and request this powerful series when you give. The number again, 1-800-889-5388. Now, we head back to Stuart Briscoe.
We've had some fun tonight, but underlying it all, there is a desperately serious issue. You know what it is? This world of ours is starving for love. This world of ours is starving for love. The kind of love that will begin to say, on the basis of what God has done for me, when I was not particularly desirable, when my attitude was reprehensible, He nevertheless committed Himself to my well-being, touched my life and drew me to Himself. On the basis of what He has done for me, I ask Him now to get hold of this cold, hard heart of mine and forgive it and mold it, fill it with a love that is attributable only to the work of the Spirit. And in dependence upon Him and in obedience to His word, I commit myself to go out and learn how to love. And that way, you'll not only build a circle of friends, you might even see your enemies become your friends.
Thanks, Stuart. One last reminder that we want to send you Pete's best message teaching, The Secrets to a Successful Life, to thank you for giving to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Just call 1-800-889-5388 and with your gift, request this wonderful 6-message series. Pete shows you not only how to just stay married, but how you can also experience a rich, intimate, mind-blowing relationship with your spouse. Call today, 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Tomorrow, Jill shares a message about fighting for your family. With so much riding against the family, you have to fight for its very survival and build walls around you of protection. But how? That's what Jill Briscoe shows you next time. Listen and experience life with us here on Telling the Truth.